Yeah, Film Vault.
Yeah,
Film Vault. Welcome, everybody, to Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today's topic, top five injuries. Top five injuries on the Film Vault, suggested by Anderson. We determined. Possibly by a listener, probably by Anderson. Fertile ground for this top five, Anderson. I don't know about you. I came up with many good options.
Just this morning, actually, we broke it into two categories. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to have any jokies on
no
here.
Comedic. No, nope. Outright. I mean, these could be darkly funny. One of mine is. Mm. But nothing outright played for laughs.
I also decided to go worse.
Gruesome.
Least hurtful injury to worse.
Okay.
All right. That's how I broke it down. Hey, you don't really have a favorite injury, do you?
No.
Does anyone have a favorite injury?
No.
My number one might be controversial, and it might also be not allowed at the end of the day.
Really?
When everything's said
Why?
And done.
Why?
Might be disqualified.
Why?
Actually occurred to me driving over here just now. I'm like, oh, fuck, that might be no. Doesn't work.
Really?
We'll discuss it when we get there.
One of mine is also controversial, and that I don't know if it would be allowed because it takes place off screen.
Oh. One of mine actually was just referred to, but I didn't put it on the list.
Really?
Like, can I talk about it real quick? Let's talk about it.
Talk about it.
Jack Reacher.
Jack
Werner
Reacher.
Werner Herzog.
He bit off his own fingers.
Talking about it,
he
though.
He chewed off his own fingers.
He showed the evidence.
I would allow that.
That was not only off screen, it was like off timeline.
I would allow that because it defined the character and it was memorable.
That's an also-ran.
That's a good one. Good one. I feel like there's going to be a lot in our also-rans that I'm going to have forgotten about. Possibly
you know,
the listener
what,
top five.
I'm excited to hear the listeners as well. Because this was tough. There's not a lot of research out there to be had.
One of mine is self-inflicted.
You know what we can also do? We're going to come
back. Much like Werner's fingers.
We're going to come back. I'm excited to see your self-inflicted. We're going to come back later at some point in the year. And we're going to do top five comedic injuries.
Yes.
And then we're going to do top five actual real life caught on camera in film injuries, because that's going to be a good one.
Are there
many?
Really?
Many times actors really get fucked up.
Like
and they
when,
keep
like
that
when
take.
Martin Sheen punched the mirror in Apocalypse Now, and then his hand got all cut up.
Yes. I also saw Hearts of Darkness.
Okay, yes. An example.
Yes. All right, let's get to it, Brian. I feel like I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. It's been
far too
delightful.
Long. Oh,
we went down different roads there.
We definitely diverged. Oh, no.
Shut
down.
Let's talk film.
Logan, are we recording?
Let's talk about what movies we have seen since we saw each other last. I got some fun things to report on.
You want to confess some flicks?
Let's confess some flicks.
Let's call it Flick Fessions.
Let's Flick Fest.
Let's Flick Fest, what we've seen in the past week.
A little preview of what I'm about to, you do that too often. A little preview of what how this is going to break down.
Mm-hmm.
Two movies up for Academy Awards, one of the multiples.
Wow.
And one movie that's in theaters now, movies that are in theaters in January, other than holdovers, are generally thought of as terrible movies. The best movie I've seen since I saw you last, Brian.
Really?
In theaters now.
Oh.
It's going to go wide the day this is dropped.
I
want to
hear about this. Speaking of going wide, I didn't realize that The Most Violent Year basically came out this Friday. Like, the day this was released, it comes out wide. I've been seeing commercials for it. Oscar Isaac was on The Daily Show, and I'm like, is this just happening now?
Let it go.
Well, people can finally see and judge for themselves. I liked it a lot more than you.
You did. You enjoyed it quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Well-made film. Left me wanting more.
That's a good thing.
Mm. No.
Oh, not like more from like more story.
It wasn't. It wasn't good enough to want to ever revisit again.
Interesting.
No quotable things. Only thing that I take away from it is the chase scene there. Let's talk about movies. All right, I'm gonna start off here.
You are.
Why not? Because we're rambling here. We're gonna do a tight hour. Remember
banter.
That was the plan.
We're gonna banter.
Do a tight hour.
How upset our fans would be.
Brian, don't call them fans. They're listeners. They're listeners. Hold on, real quick.
Oh, boy, there he goes. Don't adjust the thermostat. Very cold in here. Very cold. I'm freezing. Freezing me out. You're like a frigid wife.
All right. There's a film streaming right now.
I've heard
also,
the term frigid.
It's also available over there on the old Amazon Instant.
Okay.
A little film called Ida.
Ooh.
Ida.
Shit.
What?
Why I just saw Ida today. But I don't want to Flick Fest.
Are you?
I
have a weird feeling that we're going to have some crossover for our Flick Fest.
You know what?
Did you see it today?
Yeah, I did. Let's go ahead.
Jump on.
Ida.
I want to talk. Actually, I'm really in a mood to talk to somebody else about a film that they've seen. So
okay.
This will be good.
Ida. I didn't take any notes on it.
That's fantastic, Brian. I appreciate that.
It's all top of my head.
Okay. Ida is a black and white film.
Polish
set
film.
In... kind of hard to tell.
It is hard to tell. So the girl in the film, Ida, was adopted or given up for adoption or surrendered, I guess you want to say, to a nunnery as a baby in the middle of World War II. Probably Poland was invaded, so let's say 1940. Might have been earlier, but let's just for argument's sake. And now she is a late teenager, would you say? 19?
She's hot.
20? She's look, actually.
She's a hot pre-nun. What are they called? Are they called pre-nuns? Are they called
a nunling?
A nunling? What are they called? I don't know what the pre nun, like the nun in training.
Nun training?
I don't know what they're called.
I don't know.
But that's what she is.
Logan, how old is Ida in the movie? Like the actress. How old is the actress? Please look up.
I should tell you, this is up for Academy Awards, both in the Best Foreign Language Film of the Year, as well as Best Achievement in Cinematography. So,
this a worthy nominee for Best Cinematography.
Is art house film from beginning to end.
Oh, it is the cliche of what you expect from a Best Foreign Language Film.
Almost like Bergman. It never sucked me in, though. That's a problem. Yeah. I never really cared.
I was often confused.
Art house in black and white and unconventional framing, lots and lots of headroom. I don't know if the cinematographer and director were trying to make the people seem smaller and like a lot of room for God above their head. I don't know what he was trying.
A lot of blank
trying
space.
To do there. A lot of headroom,
but blank walls and not a lot on the walls. It looked very stark film. Starkness.
Much of it looked like Ruth Orkin's 1951 photograph. You know that the American Girl in Italy. You've seen it. Like she's on the corner and everyone's like, okay. All the Italians are surrounding her.
They're all looking at her.
Remember Ruth Orkin? She was one of the three directors that did The Little Fugitive, that movie that we fell in love with like 7 years ago. You're looking at
Logan, how old is the actress?
What was that? Is it the actress that plays Wendy?
No.
The lead is
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know who the
lead is. Agata.
But the very top build. There's two actresses named Agata.
I know, it's confusing. Agata's good.
But the very top build was born in 1971, so roughly, what, 45?
No, that's the old bitch. This girl would be 18 or 19.
That's second build.
Let's get to the crux.
I wonder how old she is for acting.
The girl that's
deemed she's hot
playing Ida, for fuck's sake. Here, I got it. Where is Ida?
Where's Ida?
Wait, when I'm looking at the cast, this is a clusterfuck, this show, but Ida. Why is her name not here?
Well, go to Wikipedia.
That is bizarre.
Go to fucking Wikipedia.
There she is.
No, it's not her.
Looking good.
It's not her.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely her, Brian. Logan, I hope you do some full butchering of this podcast because it needs it.
Please go to Wikipedia.
It doesn't say how old she is.
Fuck me.
Oh, you like that, wouldn't you? While looking at the picture of her. Let's cut all of this out. Okay. So here's the storyline. Here's the long and the short of it.
I told you the storyline. Given up for adoption. Surrenders to a nunnery.
She's an adopted. Yeah, adopted nun. Learns of her origins right before she takes her vows. That's the main point. That's where the jumping off point. And she learns that this from her aunt. And
her lone surviving relative.
A lot of looking for her family. A lot of looking for her parents, where they may be buried.
No, you're looking exactly.
Which
looking
I did not care
what
about.
Happened. She's investigating what happened to them.
It's not lost on me, Brian, that there's lots of people with a strong appetite for this type of a movie and how some people could love this movie. I think very few of our listeners are going to like it. I would say probably 5% of our audience would love a movie like Ida.
This is a hard movie to love.
Thought I saw a flaw towards the end because every image is almost flawless. I mean, they could all hang on your wall. Almost every frame of this movie.
A listener of this show pointed out a long time ago that it's kind of a cop-out to say the movie looked great. It's kind of a cop-out thing to say about a movie. And I've come to agree with that, and I try not to say very much. This is a movie you can say that about because it is up for cinematography.
A lot of the time
it does look fantastic.
I don't like go for that. Like, oh, can you see the black and whites and the shadows? And it's just beautiful.
It's black and white.
I don't buy into that. But at the end, this is a testament to it. At the end, I thought I saw like a flaw. Like you see him in movies all the time. Like a shadow, like a random errant shadow across your face. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. They fucked up. I found a little chink in the armor. Mm. And then it would turn out it was an oncoming car coming towards her. So it was meant to be there. It was supposed to be there. So pretty close to a perfect looking picture as far as what they were trying to deliver.
Every image a photograph.
I think I would like this if it was like a series. Like if there was a bunch of them.
What?
Each was a different subject.
More?
Like if that was the style. Now this guy's made other things. He started out as a documentarian. He does not sound like a party. The guy that wrote and directed it, Powotel Pawlowski. Uh-huh. He majored in like some kind of literature and philosophy. He just seems like a real dry.
Brainiac.
But she's a hot nun. So
nerd.
Those of you who have nun fetishes.
Is she hot? Look at how old
nun fetishes, and she's topless towards the end.
What? Wait a minute.
You see the boobs.
Logan, how old is she? I need to know before I can determine.
IMDb doesn't have anybody named Ida.
Wikipedia! It's weird, right? The movie's called Ida. She plays Ida, and Ida's not listed in the cast.
She's name. They name her by name as Ida at the end of the film.
Oh, wait, maybe Anna? I don't know. I found her biography on IMDb. Her age is not there. It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. She's a young looking woman, and the best part about this movie is it's 81 minutes. Scant.
Short. Feels longer.
All right. Let's move on. We saw another movie together.
We did.
Virunga.
Nominated for best.
Virunga.
Best documentary.
It's fun to say. This is also streaming. I believe it's on, was it Fuckflix or Amazon Prime or both?
Born 1992.
Woo!
22 years old!
23.
23 last year, yeah.
Yeah.
I just assume she hadn't turned.
She
first 28 days of the year.
Probably took him like 5 years to shoot this goddamn thing.
Oh, no!
She was very young.
I'll take it.
Doesn't matter, Brian. She's
22.
It's hard to like
big eyes,
see
big
beauty.
Dark eyes. Almost look fake.
Beauty in a black and white image while the subject is wearing a habit.
Yep.
Yet it shines through.
She's
beauty.
Almost like digitally altered eyes.
I like this
big
girl.
Saucers.
I like her. Makes me want to be Polish. Agata. Is that her name? I don't know. All right.
We saw a movie about a bunch of monkeys and also some gorillas.
They're apes.
Virunga. Best documentary nominee. It's directed by Orlando Van Vaughn.
None of this is important.
Einsiedel? Orlando Van Einsiedel. So this is the only one of the five nominees that is streaming on Netflix.
It's available that people can watch. Because they're not even in the theaters right now. They went out pretty deep as far as documentaries go in the Oscars this year.
Yeah, they did honestly, not go mainstream. They went opposite of mainstream.
Even talk about it last week, but... You know, the Oscars are so arbitrary. It's the closest thing we have to the Super Bowl for movies, and we do pay attention.
Of course.
And it is fun. And usually
gamble
I have
on
a couple,
the Oscars?
Couple things that I'm really rooting for, but it's just, they're so off. I'm not hungry. Like when I was like younger, I used to like, oh, it's up for an Oscar. I must see it. Mm. And we didn't talk about it at all last week, and it's been talked to death, but when they leave a Lego movie off of animation, I mean, they just don't get things right. They're just fucking far off.
I agree with every single thing you've said except for the word arbitrary. I don't think it's arbitrary. I think they punish movies that have commercial success, which is why, for example, Alive
no,
Inside.
No, that's
didn't
just
get
your
nominated.
Transformer love that's coming.
No. I'm talking about documentaries like Alive Inside, like Code Black, especially
Was that
Life
financially?
Itself.
Code Black was financially.
Code Black got like a major theatrical release.
Really?
It was probably in. I'll say a thousand theaters.
Great documentary. Check it out if you have not.
Great documentary.
That.
Yeah. Should have been up for an Oscar. Way better than fucking Virunga.
Okay, here comes Virunga. So it takes place. It's all in Africa. It is all about this national park in Africa called Virunga, which takes up. It's in parts of Uganda and the Dominican Republic of the Congo.
It's in the Congo, DR Congo.
DR Dominican Republic, the Congo. So
Democratic Republic?
Perhaps.
Dominican Republic?
It's
country.
Huge. It's a massive, massive thing.
Yes.
The cold open gets you all caught up on the war torn land and what's been going on in that region over the last 150 years, essentially. I mean, it really great cold open. I really like that. You know, 5 minutes before you actually see the title. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
looking.
It was okay.
Just exploited and ravaged and pillaged and utterly raped by Westerners.
By their own people. Not so much
and
by
Westerners. And by Westerners. They had a lot of that in the cold open.
Right.
You need to go back and watch this cold open again. It all culminates before the title card even comes up. But it's scattered. This movie's all over the place. Did you feel that?
I absolutely felt that. I felt like they spent way too much time with the human element. There was way too much time.
The intercutting was clumsy.
Very clumsy. They kept going back and forth between a lot of different people who you didn't really know.
So here are
the
three major players.
And then there's the hidden camera footage.
Yeah, they're hidden, and they thought that they're. So, it's almost like at one point I thought it was going to be like The Cove for Apes, and I was like, I was bracing myself because the build in this movie is tremendous.
You never.
You're
it
like,
sounds silly, but you never get connected to those apes. You never feel
you
like
no.
like oh they're in danger. You're like
not
oh
all, yeah.
I'm sure they'll be fine.
So there's three main groups. There's an actual military war army that is there. Imagine going to like Yellowstone or Yosemite or any national park here in the United States, and there's just military everywhere guarding it from mercenaries.
Yep.
Now the mercenaries in this movie, they're M23. They're essentially a giant gang with a uniform that is camouflage. and they all have guns.
They're a militarized gang.
Militarized gang, and they're guns for hire. Mm. And they're essentially hired by this oil company to go in and just take over the land, yep, so that this oil company can drill. Go and drill, like, essentially in the middle of, like, Yellowstone, yeah, right? The gorilla, the mountain gorillas.
Reserve.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very confusing. It's hard to kind of follow. And there's some undercover stuff, but it's not really like, holy shit, I can't believe they got that on tape. Yeah, it's like, who cares?
Thank you for saying who cares, because my thought at the end of this is, what new ground is this breaking? Is this for best documentary? Is it a big shock that gorillas are in danger, or that oil companies are huge pieces of shit, or that things suck in the Congo, or that people can be corrupted? Like, none of this is interesting or noteworthy.
So there's this young female, I think she's French, journalist, who...
She is French.
Bugged the fuck out of me. I don't know about you. On the phone all the time.
She was
looking,
neither here nor there.
She looked like a chick that I'd see at the mall here. Like an annoying teenager who's always on the
precocious.
Phone.
She's precocious.
Always on the phone.
She's precocious.
And she'd like get dates with these like Soco oil guys.
Soca? Was that
S-O-C-C-O.
What it was? Okay, Soca.
And then she like... And you know she banged him, too.
Oh, yeah. She had to get the story.
And she would do this like really poor video footage.
No, she banged him.
She probably did. But the build was tremendous. Like, it's building and building and building. And then the payoff? Not so much.
Kind of whimpers. Yeah.
And they did this really clumsy, like,
cut. I want people to die.
This clumsy cutback to, like, the monkeys. And a monkey did die, spoiler alert, but it was, like, from diphtheria. Is that what it's called? What's it called when you have diarrhea?
No, dysentery.
Dysentery. It was dysentery. It had nothing to do with war. But there's like, they're bracing. Like, they're at the monkey hut, the ape hut, where all the apes like live and hang out, and their caretakers are there, and like the M23 army is coming towards them, and you're like, holy shit.
So something should happen here.
And then they used a bunch of file footage. Like, footage that I think they bought from like CNN or something. It was really bad.
I'm glad you spoiled the monkey death and I didn't, because...
It had no effect on me. None.
That's a good... I was going to say the exact same thing, which is I was shocked at how little I cared that a gorilla died in front of my eyes. And I was like, oh, what are you going to do?
It seemed like a nice man. I mean, I think that they missed the story. I could see where they're trying to.
But that should have a huge impact on the viewer, right?
When illustrate and really convey. But there are a bunch of military guys in this region of Africa who are willing to lay down their lives for this sanctuary, mm-hmm, for the animals, for the apes, as well as the other animals there. I mean, they've lost like 120.
Okay.
120 of these guys that are protecting this national park have died in like the last 10 years or something. Mm-hmm. And they have some poaching, some big bloated,
oh, that's right,
headless elephants. Yeah, I can't recommend this movie. I can't.
No, do not see Virunga.
Some beautiful.
By the way, it is the favorite to wear. It is the second favorite behind Citizen Four.
I wish I saw this on the big screen, just because some of that imagery, it was beautiful. It really was pretty, fantastic. Yeah. The pillow shots,
nature travelogue aspect of it.
All right, what else you see, Brian?
I'll do my last one. I can't remember you talking about this. So I don't know if you've seen it yet. You see Finding Vivian Maier?
No.
Oh, you're going to love it.
No.
A much better Oscar-nominated documentary. I've sent away for it. Finding Vivian Maier is directed by Charlie Siskel and John Maloof. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the story, Anderson. It's a great story. It starts off with a mystery. This guy, I think it's John Maloof. I forget who it is. One of the directors. He goes to an auction, right? Right. Pay attention to me.
Yeah, he goes to an auction. Attention to the screen that I'm looking at.
Yes, you are. Much more than me. He goes to an auction, and it's like an estate. No, it's not. There's several lots, several estates, several, like your storage wars. It's storage lockers auction type thing. Mm-hmm. And he bids on a storage locker because he needs old-timey photographs for this video project he's doing.
Of course.
And you'll love this. There's a big photography aspect. Anything about this movie? Okay, so this guy goes to a storage locker auction. Right. He buys one because it has a bunch of negatives, boxes and boxes of negatives. He buys
That's
it.
A positive for him.
And it turns out to be a net positive.
Hey now.
He goes and develops some of them. Mm-hmm. Puts them online. It's like, oh, these are pretty good. Puts them online. People start to react to
them. I totally know about this movie. This movie came out like 8 months ago. Yes, and I meant to go see it. Yeah.
He develops them, sort of gets some attention online. People are like, these are great. And he's like, these are great. And he goes, I'm going to find out who this person is. And there's clues. There's like, you know, return addresses, and there's, you know, forms filled out. But he figures it out. And it turns out this woman was a nanny. She was a nanny in Chicago, and who constantly went around with a camera, took the kids out of the house, various kids that she nannied over the years, took them to like the seedy parts of town and took pictures of drunks and homeless people and just people on the street and businessmen.
And she just had a natural eye.
She had an amazing eye. Like they talked to other photographers who were pretty well known. They're like, this woman really was talented. Like she knew what she was doing and she caught people at very vulnerable moments. And do you know what a Rolleiflex camera is? Is it a Rolleiflex?
The ones Rolleiflex, you look, you look down?
Yeah, exactly. The ones you look down. She kept it around her waist.
Land cameras, too.
Okay. She kept it around your waist. It's an old-timey camera you look down into, and it shoots from basically
hipsters
your sternum.
Yeah, hipsters love.
And
it's hard to do selfies with them.
It gives a great, you know, upward point of view, upward POV shot to where people kind of look down at the camera. They're looking at her, so they get you get the subject looking off in the distance almost in these pictures. And she had hundreds of thousands of great photographs of old-timey Chicago, and they're all black and white, and they're all great, and he goes back and pieces together her life, and she's a very mysterious person. She has some undiagnosed mental illnesses. She was a hoarder. She had stacks and stacks of newspapers, which is always a bad sign for hoarders.
All right, we'll leave something to the... I got to watch this thing one day.
There's a lot more.
I'd like to discover for myself.
You'd like to find Vivian Mayer?
I'd like to uncover, unpack, as they like to
say. Okay,
well, I hate when people say that. Don't you hate when people say that? Let's unpack this issue. Let's sit back and unpack it, really get into it.
Let's splash around in it.
But yeah, I would like to do that in the movie, Brian. I don't want to be like, oh, yes.
Right, well, the newspaper thing is just one of many, many character traits. That
I know, but you're getting on a roll there. I was.
I'm excited because this is the best movie I saw this week by a long shot. Virunga was pretty bad, and Ida was
not pretty bad. It wasn't.
Virunga was meh. Ida was
there's so
meh.
Many documentaries, you know what I mean? And like, you'd think that the five best of the year are going to pack a punch.
This is a brutally honest movie, warts and all, about a person who otherwise...
Warts.
I just kept thinking about the just the chance that this woman's work, her life, could have been just lost to history.
Now,
just thrown away or burned or whatever, and some guy miraculously found it, who ended up being... She ended up being one of the great photographers of the era.
Right. Now I'm sure it happens every day. Like, you know, treasures are forever lost. Mm. The greatest screenplay ever written, I'm sure.
It's probably never been seen by.
Probably got, you know, it burned or rotten or, you know, it's just sitting in some storage space. But did the guy that bought this container, this storage space, was he a filmmaker?
He was. I think he's one of the directors. He was a guy who's
so
like,
he just
doing
happened
this.
To be a director as well?
You know, he's like, I'm doing a video project. I need old photos of Chicago, and I found a bunch of negatives, so I'm going to buy it.
Oh, so he's working on another project, and then he came along this.
I
and
explained
this
at the beginning when you were looking at your screen.
Well, I was looking at
it. No, this guy said, he says, I'm making a video project.
Gotcha.
Need old-timey photographs. Lands it upon a gold mine.
Yeah, cool.
Worthy of a nomination for best documentary.
Black
one of the five best I've seen this year, for
black,
sure.
Black and White Mine. And it is up for best.
It is?
Okay, I saw a film that's not up for any awards. It's in theaters right now.
What is it?
Let me pull up the old notes here. What do you think of Jude Law?
You fan? Much more of a fan recently. I have a thought on Jude Law, which is he's in that category of guys who were forced to be a leading guy because he was good looking in his younger days, and now that he's sort of gotten more into his adult looks.
Yeah, Tom Hemingway last year was
exactly.
Kind of his coming out party. He was desperately trying to be successful
the
as well.
Law image.
Break the you can't pigeonhole me, man. I can be something more than a leading man. Yeah. Anyways, he's doing it again. Black Sea, bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Black Sea, bitch.
Good trailer.
Just called Black Sea. I've not seen any trailers. I knew nothing about this film going into it.
I saw a trailer for a recent movie.
Other than my buddy Rand said, trust me, go check out Black Sea. It's limited release as I speak these words. It's going, I just confirmed, going wide on Friday. It's slim pickings out there, boys and girls. There's very little to see out there. I can recommend, almost highly recommend, Black Sea.
Okay.
Sure, there are some problems with it, but here's the gist. Here it is, and I'm not going to give too much away, but... it's definitely right up my alley because it's working class guys saying fuck you to the bankers.
Can I tell you what I know about it from the trailer?
Oh, well, Christ,
well,
I'm
that
afraid.
Way, there's no way I could spoil on it.
I'm afraid, though. Those damn trailers, man. They ruin things.
Okay, well, go ahead and give your version of it.
I'll give my version. All right. So, opens up Jude Law losing his job, right? Some young desk jockey is explaining to him that they don't need a submarine worker anymore. He's distraught, upset, drinking beers with some friends. They come up with a plan. Plan is they may or may not know where there's a U-boat, an old Nazi U-boat filled with gold. This is all the first 5 minutes, guys. Filled with gold on the floor, the bed, seabed right. of the Black Sea. So recently fired working class seamen, submarine guys for the most part, team up to retrieve what they believe to be a Nazi U-boat at the bottom of the Black Sea.
Ocean filled, there's gold.
That's rumored to be filled with gold.
Nazi treasures.
Jude Law puts together his team. Six Brits, six Limeys. He plays a Limey. Mm. Six Limeys. Is that offensive to you, British
I don't think
folks?
So. Okay. I don't think so. And I'll speak for them.
Six Ruskies. Mm. They all hate each other. There's nothing but man and sweat. No women. There's some flashbacks. He has some flashbacks of his bitch wife a couple times. But other than
no
that,
no women.
No ladies. It's 12 dudes on a goddamn Russian sub, and it's pretty goddamn tense. Some really great character actors in here. The acting was great all the way around. Scott McNairy, which he's showing up in everything. He was in Frank. He was their manager in Frank.
Yeah.
I watched Frank for the third time with the wife.
You talked about Scott McNairy last week.
Yeah, he comes up a lot. That's what I said. He was in Monster. Monsters. I watched Frank again over the weekend. Third time now. Mm. Third time's a charm. Like it more than ever. Wife loved it too. And she's tough on movies.
I was going to say, it's not a Jillian type of movie.
She was almost asleep when we started it. Watch the whole
Push
goddamn
right
thing.
Up.
So anyways, Black Sea. Here are my nitpickings. One of the worst, if not the worst, ADR moment I have ever seen or ever heard in cinema.
Okay.
It is god awful.
Jarring. It's like Plastic Baby and American Sniper are distracting.
I didn't see the Plastic Baby. I didn't notice that, remember?
That's
I saw
good.
It on the small
That's
screen.
A good point,
I saw
actually.
It on the small screen. But it's obviously like a rewrite or something wasn't clear enough for the audience, right. One of these test audiences or something. So the line is, why do you think they fired you? And it is just like a slap in the face. Like, it felt like somebody in the audience yelled it out for him. And you can, it's a reverse shot of McNairy, and you can see his mouth. It's just nitpicking, but it was bad.
Okay.
It was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Filed away.
Some character arcs I had a hard time swallowing. It was kind of forced. It seemed like they ran out of time, and they just thought, okay, he's going to be like this now. But it gets you, man. I was tense. I was concerned. I was worried. You know that character?
Who directed this epic?
I don't know if I call it an epic, Brian. Kevin MacDonald did. He probably his best known film is The Last King of Scotland.
Mm.
But yeah, Black Sea. I'm
in after saw the trailer, man.
I'm not a submarine guy. I did not like or I didn't care for the few submarine movies I've seen. I get claustrophobic very easily. Mm. Not so much with this one.
You love the ocean.
I do love the ocean, but there's no windows on those goddamn things.
True.
Flying
There's
blind.
One window that pokes up, and only one guy can look through it.
Scott McNairy. Oh, Ben Mendelsohn. You know that name?
Yes.
He's very recognizable. He actually had a great part in a also very, very tense scene in Killing Them Softly, that heist scene or the robbery scene. Horrifying. He plays an amazing sociopath in this movie. He's fantastic.
Okay.
It's a sweaty, dirty, grimy movie. I love it.
Coming up next,
Jude Law can hold his own with those dudes. He's believable.
I love it. I'm in for Jude Law these days. I'm bought in on the Jude Law bandwagon.
Dude, I have been since Gattaca. I thought he was great in that.
I've always liked Jude, to be honest. Yeah, I liked him in AI. As a Jigolo Joe.
He was by far the best thing in AI.
Coming up next, Anderson's going to turn the air conditioning down, and we're going to come back with top five injuries. Anderson, somebody did something on Amazon that I forgot you could do, and I wanted to give them a special thanks because I appreciate it. They created their baby registry on Amazon with our click-through. So anytime someone buys something off their baby registry, it's going to be like clicking through for us.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's awesome. I completely forgot.
We should buy them a baby toy.
Oh, well, you know what? Speaking of which, somebody got a baby onesie that says the force is strong with this one. It's like a little Padawan murder. Other things that were purchased on the Amazon click through include a GoPro head strap mount to put your GoPro on your head, Samsung Galaxy Tab 4. There you go. Oh, astronaut ice cream. Someone stepped it up and got chocolate chips. Where'd the music go? Freaking me out.
No, I just realized you had it. I took it off for you.
Thank you. Fitbit. Anderson's wearing a Fitbit. Someone got a Fitbit.
Love the Fitbit.
Along with a sleep tracker. Sleep wristband. Valentine's Day is this week, and somebody...
Somebody got a sleep tracker?
No, sleep wristband. With a Flexbit wireless activity and sleep wristband.
That's weird, because the Fitbit has a sleep thing in there.
I think it's the strap, maybe for...
I don't know.
Or maybe it's just describing it. Who knows? Someone got a 18 karat gold plated sterling silver diamond accent J necklace. So J necklace. A Shun knife set. Those are good knives. An espresso maker. Six. There was an Amazon Prime thing over the weekend. A discounted thing for $72, and six people clicked through to get that. Thanks, you guys. Enjoy the streaming movies. And what is this here? Oh, I've always wanted one of these. A globe bar. A globe that opens up and it's a bar.
Oh, I had one of those.
You do?
I had. It's destroyed.
Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah. I lost a lot of money in Vegas, and I had points, and that was the most expensive thing that they had, the little points. So I took it home. So essentially it cost me $5,000.
Okay, good. Yeah. You got a $4
and now item. And now I'm missing the top of it.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. You're missing the globe part of the globe? Mm-hmm. Someone got a Dr. Strangelove poster.
Oh, that's a smart move.
And a couple people clicked through and got those learning placemats with the maps and the letters and stuff. Very, very clever. People getting ready for the big game. Got a 55-inch TV and a 65-inch TV. What is this here?
Massive.
24 glue guns? Who the fuck? Thank you for running those glue guns, everybody.
They're running a arts and crafts class.
Someone got TurboTax Deluxe, a TurboTax time, a Detroit Red Wings coffee mug.
No.
Bear spray. I guess we're going camping.
Oh, no, you know what that is? Bear spray. I think my buddy actually got that. Just today I was talking to him, and he's like, I actually clicked through your site, and I got my wife some bear spray because mace isn't good enough for her.
Well, thanks, Anderson's buddy, for getting bear spray.
That is awesome.
And finally, someone got their kids or themselves.
How hot do you got to be that you need bear spray?
A bounce house, an inflatable bounce house for themselves or their children.
It's like mace isn't.
This isn't good enough. Step it up.
I'm so desirable that I must have bear spray to fend them off. Here are the films that are clicked through. This is awesome. Idiocracy. Lucy. You guys seen that, Lucy? You haven't seen that? It's funny. Okay. It's not supposed to be, but it's kind of funny. The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I see. There's a lot of monkey stuff going on here. The Grand Budapest Hotel. Let's click through. Taking a Pelham 1-2-3. Don't know which year, but I'm hoping it was the good one. Mm-hmm. Hoping it was the 70s
one.
The
recent one.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Check that fucker out. Bug was clicked through. Somebody's got some balls on him. You gotta watch Michael Shannon just fucking lose his shit. He's so messed up. Have I made you watch Bug yet? Have you seen Killer Joe yet?
It's in my house.
Oh, you gotta watch.
I finally got the top of the queue.
You have to
do the top of the queue.
A double feature: Bug, Killer Joe. Okay. William Friedkin has lost his fucking mind. Huh? And they're both written by Tracy Letts, the guy that that did Osage County.
Okay.
These are both very different movies.
I was gonna say.
Shit. Groundhog Day was clicked through. Groundhog Day was that clicked through last week.
Mm-hmm. There's Groundhog Day coming up.
See what I'm doing? Groundhog Day. Hot Fuzz was clicked through. I Am Legend, fantastic movie.
Underrated.
A very underrated movie. That could have been up for best documentary. It's all about the printing, the 3D printing. But maybe it's from a few
Legend?
Years. Oh, wait. Print the Legend. You saw my Fitbit. It says 3 hours sleep.
Yes.
Leave me alone.
You're losing your mind. Speaking of Friedkin.
Reanimator was clicked through, as well as The Time Machine. Fantastic.
Classic.
I remember flick-fessing The Time Machine. I had seen it before, but I went back and revisited it years ago.
It's back in a time machine.
On the film vault here, and it was a good time. It was a good time.
Thank you guys for clicking through. We appreciate it.
Remember The Time Machine where he gets in it, he realizes it works, and he's like...
I've never seen
The
Time Machine. I've never seen it.
This is a very funny part. He's a scientist. He's very smart, and he invented the time machine. He realizes it works, so he cranks it up a little bit, and he's like going into the future, right? And he's sitting still, but everything's changing around him. It's really cool the way they did it. What? However, if he was sitting underneath a palm tree or something, he'd be fucked because it would just grow right through him. They never discuss any of that.
No.
But
remarkable luck.
It's funny because he's going like slowly, a few years in the future, and he goes through the industrial age, and then he just says, fuck it. And he just, I don't know why. No scientist would ever be so willy-nilly, but he just throws it into like high gear, and it...
Zooms him.
It breaks.
Okay.
And he gets stuck in the future. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for looking through. Back to the show. Hi, I'm Tim Allen, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Yeah. Welcome back. And thanks to all of our feature artists, Take Today, Spy Device, Octopus Caveman, Social Set, Kanisha K, and Candy Cigarettes. Check them out on AndersonandBrian.com. All of their tunes you hear throughout the episode. Yeah.
Hey, you think Mordecai might kill the mustache craze that's going on with the...
Is there a mustache craze?
A lot of people are under the mustaches and facial hair.
Mordecai might be the end of
you think that he might
little craze.
Might kill it?
It's not helping.
God, it looks bad. I was in a mall the other day. I was actually in a mall, which is never a good time, really. But I saw a Mordecai ad with, it was one of those cross promotion things for Gillette.
Oh no!
Holy shit!
So that's how they're going to pay for the movie?
Johnny Depp, what have you become? What have you become? He's standing there with a stupid. He's sitting there on the billboard. I got on the poster. Looking like an idiot, holding
a Mach 3,
holding a Mach 3,
Gillette Turbo.
No, they're doing the old timey thing now where you can like dip.
Oh, I like
with
that.
The, with I'm
yeah,
sure
with the badger hair.
Yeah, what is that? What's called badger hair? They kill badgers for that shit.
Most of it's synthetic.
Fuck actually. You even more, Johnny.
No, it's they shave badgers, okay. But they.
Are you sure?
It's the old timey ones are badger hair, but I think it's synthetic these days.
Okay.
But it's a brush. It's a shaving brush.
If you have a goose down pillow or blanket, are they just plucking those goose?
Again, feathers? I think those are synthetic nowadays.
Just pulling them right out of the...
Because it's not goose anymore. It's just down pillow. Mm-hmm. Like right. A down comforter.
I got a pillow at home, and it stabs me in the eye often.
I think those are fake fur. Well, fake
they
feathers.
Should make them less sharp.
They really ought to.
Here we go. Let's talk injuries. Speaking of injuries, I didn't even try and do that. Get stabbed in the eye.
No. Oh, that's a wonderful segue.
Mm-hmm. There's also a Daniel Tosh bit. Let's go.
Boy, you are running on fumes.
I know, man.
Anderson showed me his Fitbit sleep tracker.
Yeah.
And average time gone to sleep over the last 2 weeks is about 4:42 a.m.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's when I go to sleep.
You're a night owl.
But that's fine if you get to sleep until like 12:30, 1 o'clock. But I'm always up by like 10:30, so.
And by the way, these average sleep times I'm talking about, they include nights you go to bed early, like around 12:30.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those.
Right, yeah. And they usually time out around 4.5-5 hours. I get to actually sleep. All right, let's move on from my
move
sleep
on
pattern
injuries.
And talk about injuries. Now, going least effective, long term or otherwise, and brutal to most brutal.
I have some obvious ones. I have a couple of controversial ones, and I have one that is a deep, deep, deep cut. I'd be surprised if you. I wouldn't be surprised if you hadn't seen this movie.
You go, Brad. You
okay,
go first.
And obvious. Well, I don't know how obvious it is. Maybe obvious.
I think we're going to have a little crossover here.
It might be. But then again, we have so many good injuries out there. So many.
Huh.
Number five for me.
Yeah.
There's few things better than... I'm glad you brought up...
I didn't.
I meant to bring this up earlier when you laughed at the idea of some injuries. I thought of something called Anderson funny. It's not funny, but it's Anderson funny.
All right,
which is,
let's see what this is.
It's darkly funny, but specifically it's when someone gets hurt.
No.
And I imagine you laughing.
That's not really my style of humor at all. This is what hurts me the most, Brian. This is what hurts me the most. Like,
How often are you going to laugh during this top five?
We have a relationship where like you and I know each other. Like, I know you inside out. Mm-hmm. But like it really hurts me when you don't know me.
You're going to laugh often during this top five.
I don't laugh at like people falling down and getting hurt. That's just
I know.
Not my,
well, how about people getting
like
shot in the face?
The Three Stooges.
How about Carl Showalter getting shot in the face when he goes to pick up the money from who did he go to get money from? Wait.
It's good, bro.
Wade. When there's few things better than when Steve Buscemi loses his shit when he gets exasperated and he's at the end of his rope.
Mm-hmm.
And in Fargo, when he goes to pick up the money at the hostage exchange
mm-hmm.
from Jerry's father-in-law, Wade,
mm-hmm.
and it goes horribly wrong,
mm-hmm.
and Steve Buscemi ends up with a gaping gunshot wounds in his
barely
face.
Barely remember that. I saw this movie once
what?
In the theater. Saw it once.
When has he seen Fargo?
Not a massive... I've seen it one time in the theater, like the weekend it came out, probably, and never went back. I'm okay. It did not do that much for me.
It's controversial.
I understand there's some horrific violence as well as some goofy, quirky, funny accents. Isn't that funny how they're mixed together? It didn't do much for me.
I may have to reassign you this movie.
Bleak, too. The bleaks. The
you can't talk
landscape.
About bleak after we've seen Ida.
Bleak
after
landscape.
We've seen Ida, you can't talk about bleak. But yes, it is stark.
Stark and bleak. Yeah, I felt like there was too. They were leaning too much on her accent. And like once you get past that, it's like, all right, come on.
Interesting.
Not a fan. I got to check out the TV show that I hear. I hear phenomenal things about Fargo, right?
Excellent TV show.
Right? Well, you know, awesome. I was about to say. I'm not even looking over
this
there.
This is the most hipster thing you've ever said, is you want to like the TV show more than the movie.
I've Fargo. Never seen it, dude. I don't know. I don't know about the TV show. I've heard phenomenal things. I am going to check it out. All right. So, yes, he shoots himself in the face.
No, hilarious. He gets shot in the face.
Okay. He gets shot in the face.
I'm tripped up right now. I can't get past the fact that you don't like Fargo. It hurts me.
See, you don't know me because I've talked about this out loud on the program that I don't like. And everything's right there. I should love Fargo. I love everyone that's in it.
I often go back and forth.
I love the Coen Brothers.
That or No Country for Old Men are the best Coen Brothers movie. I go back and forth.
No. Their comedies are way better than...
Back and forth.
All right. And I know a lot of people are... I'm sure some people probably stop listening to this after they heard that I don't like Fargo.
These guys know nothing. So that's it. I'm done.
getting a lot of hate too about our hatred for Wes Anderson.
I don't hate Wes Anderson. I hated Grand Budapest Hotel. I've liked many Wes Anderson films. Well, a couple Wes Anderson films.
I would love Wes Anderson if he made like 12-minute shorts.
Mm.
All right. Anyway.
How about he just makes some different style of movies? You know, plenty of directors branch out and do different genres and excel in them.
He's really, he's got such a distinct voice. He shouldn't have to, but he did with the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
He was so good.
And that's my favorite film of his. I own Royal Tenenbaums. I want to like Wes Anderson movies. He's nailed the quirky comedy genre. Not time to move on to very quirky comedy.
Number five! For me. Barefoot Glass.
This is my number one also ran.
Die Hard.
Number one also ran.
1998's Die Hard.
88.
1988's Die Hard. Yes, it is 88. Look at that. Roderick Thorpe wrote the novel, Nothing Lasts Forever.
I read it.
Did you really?
I did. It was very good.
Not a whole lot to report here other than it was, it sticks with you. I mean, anyone who's seen Die Hard, that is one of the hardest things to watch.
It's wince-inducing.
Not only when he's running through the glass, but when he's pulling it out. And it's great because it's such a well-written script. And it's just that movie is just so well-crafted. And if you remember, his shoes are off because he was on the plane and somebody was telling, I still do this to this day when I go to a hotel.
You make fists with your toes?
Take my shoes off and I make the fist with the toes on the carpet. But like they set that up so that, you know, there was a reason for it. Mm-hmm. They probably went back. They're like, we should have him barefoot, but why? And then they went back and wrote it in the script.
That's right. There's a great moment too when he kills that first German, when he kills the first bad guy, he wants to put his shoes on. He tries to put his shoes on and he says something to the effect of, I got 10 million terrorists in the world. I got to kill one with feet smaller than my sister.
Oh yeah.
Like, he wants to put the shoes on, but he's thwarted.
Well, because they're too small.
That's right.
Yeah. Evidently he was wearing rubber foot like shoes throughout those scenes. So if you slow it down and you stare, because they actually had glass down there and he wasn't, but I guess his feet
were sure
extra big if you're watching.
Right.
So there we go. Barefoot Glass and Die Hard.
It's an iconic moment and it's a character defining moment too, because there's a beat in the movie where right before he runs across the glass,
he knows,
like,
he has to do it.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like, I got to do this, but it's not going to suck.
And it was really done well.
Yeah.
It was done very well.
John McTiernan.
Yep. McTeary.
All right. Number four for me.
Yep.
The only self-induced injury on my list.
Uh-oh.
Do you have any self-induced? Well, I guess the walking across the glass can be self-induced in a way.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. No, I don't. No.
What are you laughing at? Someone getting injured?
It's just so
I know horrific. You so well.
Brian, no. You'll see when I get there.
I know.
You'll see when I get there.
I imagine you laughing when people get hurt.
It's not like slapstick, though.
I know. And I'm talking about falling on a fucking banana peel.
It's like slice chop.
Okay.
It's different.
We'll get there. Number four for me.
Slapstick.
When Chuck Nolan, played by Tom Hanks, has to extract his own tooth.
Oh, good one, Brad.
Cast away.
Not really an injury. It's
more of a
treatment. He's not injuring. He's
I would say when he knocks his tooth out with an ice skate.
It's a procedure.
With an ice skate and a rock.
Oh, it's so hard.
Oh, it's so hard.
Ah!
The pain is so great that he knocked. Haven't seen Castaway, see Castaway. It's an underrated movie.
I was on that island.
Hmm?
I was on my honeymoon. We went to Fiji. I actually went. They have a little boat tour because they have so many islands over in Fiji. But one that they actually shot on, part of the plane is still there.
Really?
Pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I saw the little hole where, like, he was supposed to have lived. All the interior is obviously shot somewhere else. But that's the scene that takes supposed to take place on that island where he knocks out the tooth. Yeah.
Yeah. The pain is so great that when he knocks it out, he passes out immediately.
And then it's one of the greatest jump cuts in all of cinema where it just...
4 years later.
4 years later, and he's harpooning fish, and he's like a
he's
warrior.
He's emaciated, and he's bearded.
Yes, he's primed. Yes. I actually stood right there.
Yep.
Oh, in that water. It's fantastic.
Pretty great.
All right.
Great character-defining moment. His character turns on a dime in that moment in the movie. Because you're right, it jumps to 4 years later, and he's a hard dude. He's a hard ass. It's a warrior.
This is number four. It's a classic. It's one that most people... who love movies will be aware of, Brian, and that is Roman Polanski's Chinatown.
My number three.
Oh, look at this crossover! I don't like it. I don't like that. Are you doing any research on this one?
Yeah, well,
because it's kind of an infamous scene. It's where Roman Polanski playing a. I don't even have the line or anything down in front of me. I should. Damn it.
He calls him nosy. He's like, hey, you know, that's the nosy people.
Something about a curious cat or something like that.
No, I think he said, like, you know what happens to nosy guys or something.
And he Roman Polanski's playing like this little. Like,
well, let's set it up.
Okay.
So Jack Nicholson plays J.J. Giddies. Mm-hmm. He's a private detective,
yes.
And it doesn't matter what he's looking into. He's looking into a aqueduct or water main or something, and he's poking around where he's not supposed to be poking around, and he comes across two dudes. One guy's, I guess, one guy's in charge, and the other dude's sort of a thug. And the thug is played by Roman Polanski, the director.
Well, he is probably borderline little person midget.
I don't know if
he went go-kart racing, I don't think they'd let him in a go-kart.
He's a diminutive man.
Very small.
And they say, what are you doing poking your nose around here? You know what happens to guys poke their nose around? And Roman Polanski produces a switchblade, right? A switchblade knife.
Right.
And he holds it up to Jack Nicholson, threatening him. And he puts it inside of his nose,
yes.
Like up his nostril, and then yanks it out, cutting his nose off to the side. Like he cuts a big slice in his nostril. And blood everywhere, and it's grotesque. But it's great because Jack Nicholson then has to wear a oddly sized, oddly placed bandage for the rest of the movie. And I remember, Anderson, the reason I thought of this, the reason I didn't do any research, because I was going to just say what I had learned about this, which was my first ever movie film professor at USC showed this movie in the first ever film class I ever took, and he was like, Jack Nicholson, the director, Roman Polanski, has him wear this because he's subverting the entire genre of the private detective, the pulpy noir detective. He's making a fool out of him, basically. He's saying this is a man that you're not to be taken. Everything you know about this the noir detectives, the cool guys who have it all together, then drinking, you know, the dame walked into my room and blah blah blah. Forget that. This guy is completely the opposite of that. He's wearing this big ridiculous bandage throughout the whole movie.
He's still goddamn cool though.
He is cool. He's very cool.
And if he's doing that, you don't cast Jack Nicholson.
He's not.
He's got some wrinkles.
He doesn't have it all together.
I always thought that'd be the greatest Halloween costume.
He's too big. He's like a low rent guy.
It'd be a great Halloween costume. Just to wear his exact suit and the bandage with a little bit of blood.
He's still Jack Nicholson. He's still cool. You wouldn't cast him otherwise. You're right. But he's not the guy that you know, the character that you know from all those other movies. He doesn't have it together.
You're a very nosy fellow, kitty cat. Huh? You know what happens to nosy fellows. Huh?
Yeah, that's it.
No. Want to guess? Huh? No? Okay. They lose their noses. Now,
that's right. Slices them.
They apparently had to do it. It was very hard because the blood was like inside the knife and it was supposed to spray and it kept not working appropriately.
It kind of sprayed awkwardly on him.
It's jarring though.
Yes.
It's jarring and it looks super real.
Well, you don't know what they're going to do. They're going to fucking run the thing up into his brain.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right.
And then it's viscerally weird. Like, my number four. Nose trauma is no good.
Giddies.
Number three for you.
JJ.
Because that was my number three.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're going. So, you know, barefoot glass, you can recover from that. You know, you get a hobble for a while.
Yes.
The nose, that's upsetting.
Yeah, but that'll heal.
It'll heal, but you might have facial disfigurement for the rest of your life. They only get worse from here, Brian.
Oh, no.
Number three is up. Big one, Brian.
I dare say my number one will be the worst of anyone's.
There's a collection.
You can't get worse than my number one. You can equal it. You can't get worse.
Number three for me. Clit cutting and fox entrails and Lars von Trier's Antichrist.
I've not seen Antichrist.
I'm not going into detail. I'm not going to go any further. I don't need to. For those of you who have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about both of those things, by the way. Both clit cutting and fox entrails.
Clitoris?
Clitoris.
Okay.
All right. Chaos Reigns, Brian. This is a movie that will definitely, it's a reference point. It's a movie that raises the bar in many ways, many terrible ways, but it's a movie that you can go back to and go, is it as bad as this? Was it as, Roger Ebert said, this is the portrait of a director losing his mind when he saw the film. Mm. He was very upset with Lars von Trier because he liked the actress Willem Dafoe and his, then I think it might still be his wife. She plays the counter to him.
Who?
I can't remember.
Oh, come on.
Come on. I don't know names.
Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Thank you. Are they still married there, buddy? What, are you a big fan?
Logan's like your external hard
drive. I don't know. I just knew that for some reason. Like just off the top of my
head. You ever see that Antichrist?
No, I've never seen it. It's a
weird
thing.
Opens up beautiful black and white slow motion shots of deep actual penetration.
Oh.
Yeah. They're having sex in the shower there.
Put that at the top of queue.
They're ignoring their offspring. Bad things happen
Something
to that child.
Bad happens, right?
Anyways, I'm not going to go any further, but that bad injuries not resulted in death. The fox was alive and well, speaking Saying chaos reigns.
Speaking.
While eating his own entrails. While eating his own. And if I still had my 360 here, I don't. I moved it up the street, goddammit. But we used to play it on the After Disaster all the time.
Chaos reigns.
Chaos reigns.
I think you played it on this show a few times.
The bass behind it is so beautiful. It's so fantastic. Brings chills. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Antichrist. I think it might be streaming now. If the specific
injury you're talking about.
Chaos reigns. Oh, it's that sound is so beautiful. Anyways, yes, it's I think it was Lars von Trier's commentary on the state of the Earth and what humans do to it, but what the Earth, Mother Nature, is really capable of doing to us. Okay. I think that's kind of where he was going. Yes, he did.
Sounds like a hoot.
You need to see this film one day.
Do I? Do I see Bug or this?
With Christy.
Oh, come on. Some things are just too far-fetched.
This one's harder to watch than Bug. This was my top five most disturbing.
This I remember.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Want to see it.
Moving along.
Coming up next, my most controversial choice, I'll see if Anderson allows it, and my most extreme choice. Next.
The family is here, and our friends are back in town. There's no time to worry, pick yourself up off the ground. Because life is precious, and we will use every minute. Enjoy the good, the bad, and smile in the moment. So celebrate.
Brian, I am not lying to you.
Yep.
When I tell you I'm an obsessive person, you know that.
Yes.
Blue Apron has got me on the biggest cooking. I think I'm Chef Ramsay in my kitchen.
That's amazing that Blue Apron has legitimately like turned your life
I've
in a different direction.
A Chinese cleaver. I've bought like a big butcher block.
That's
and
amazing.
I'm dicing, and it's all because of Blue Apron.
Did like, you have any interest in cooking before that?
No. I used to think it was a waste to spend 45 minutes on something that's going to take you 5 minutes to eat.
Not true.
Not true at all.
True.
I love
it's
it. The art of cooking.
It's like saying it's a waste to spend 3 months making a movie when it's going to take you 90 minutes to watch it. No, not waste.
Last week, I cooked chicken charlemagne. Mm-hmm. Like I knew what I was doing in there, roasting vegetables. And then I also did cod steamed in banana leaves.
That's amazing.
Right? I felt like I knew it. Like the wife walks by and she sees me doing it. And I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm doing in there. And I hide the directions.
You don't want to let her know. They give you step-by-step color picture instructions.
Oh, so good, that Blue Apron.
Here's the details, Anderson. Here's what you need to know.
Each meal is like $9.99.
Yep, $9.99 a meal. 500 to 700 calories a serving, which is fantastic if you're trying to shed that holiday pounds, like maybe me. And if you go to blueapron.com/TFV, you get your first two meals free. So check it out, blueapron.com/TFV. Yep. Welcome back. Thanks again to our featured artists. Check them all out at andersonandbrian.com in the order in which they're played. Anderson.
Yeah.
Let's hear your number two. Your second injury. Your second, I don't know if I would call it best, top, greatest, notable, worthy of mention.
It's not best.
Yeah, these aren't best.
All right, let's see. I can't find any extra info on that, so it's going to be short and sweet here.
Let's
but hear it. It's definitely worthy. You seen that movie Lawless a couple years ago?
No, I'm not.
2012.
Is that with Gerard Butler?
John Hillcoat directed it.
No, what is this?
Nick Cave wrote it. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Nick Cave
musician?
From yeah, he does a lot of writing. No, a lot of Western type stuff. Starring Tom Hardy, Shia LaBeouf, and Shia LaBeouf.
Are they brothers?
Shia LaBeouf. There's a lot of the trailers really like zeroed in on the brother thing, right. But not as a and Guy Pearce.
Right.
And all right, if you have not seen it, guys, you plan on seeing this thing.
It's a random pull.
It's a goddamn good one, Brian.
Okay.
If you've seen it, you would understand why. Those of you who are listening who have seen it, you're like, oh shit. Absolutely correct.
What happens? What is the injury?
There is a throat slitting, cutting, slicing scene, Brian, in this movie. And no stitches are to be found, and the man is. I'm kind of ruining things here.
Why?
I kind of gave people a heads up. If you've not seen Lawless and you want to see it, tune out for the next 30 seconds.
Yeah, hit the 30 second thing a couple times.
Yeah, 15 second thing a couple times. Anyways,
hit the 45 second thing.
You kind of count him out. The man gets up. Tom Hardy.
No.
Tom Hardy, my man, gets up. He holds.
They didn't slice him enough.
Holds it closed.
They didn't slice him enough.
And continues.
down the road, Brad. Holding his throat like this, Brad.
Oh, no.
And it looks so real. And it's so like, holy shit.
Did it affect his glorious lips?
And it's what I would do. It's what most people would do.
Yeah, of course.
I broke my hand and like the bone was, you know, and I kept just pushing it down like hoping, like my first, I'm so dumb. My first instinct was like, maybe some glue will fix it. That's what you got to do. You got to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
It's a hand tourniquet. So that, yeah. Not a bad movie. I like that Lawless.
So throat slicing. By the way, we did specify in the list for top five. These are not. We should talk about it. These are not fatal. These are not fatal injuries.
Well, that's
injuries
the whole point. Yeah, they're injuries that the character being inflicted, the inflicted subject survives.
Yeah, the character must deal with them and live with them for at least a good portion of the movie. I would assume. Now, my number two.
It's like irreversible. The fire extinguisher would not.
That's a pretty. Because
he didn't survive.
That results in his death pretty immediately, right?
No, that's what makes it so horrific. It's like his jaw is still moving there towards one of the last bashes. Oh God, it still moves, Brian. It's like. Oh, God damn it. You haven't seen it.
I don't really.
It's not in your noggin. You don't have it in there.
Yeah, isn't that great?
You're gonna get it in there.
Can't you look at me and like envy me, like that I don't have that in my memories?
Nah, man.
In my dreams.
Nah.
Haunting me.
No, it's like you don't know what life's all about, man. Like,
you think that's
you just see the world through rose glasses, bro. You don't see what's really out there.
Number two for me.
All right,
my most controversial choice because it does not take place on screen. The character actually, you meet him. He already has this injury. You know what a Chelsea grin is, Anderson?
Oh.
The Glasgow smile?
Yes.
Talk about the Joker.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger is the Joker. Those iconic scars on his mouth, those are sides of his mouth, those are called known as a few different things, a Chelsea grin, a Glasgow smile. Apparently the toughs, the gangsters, the thugs over there in Scotland would cut their rivals' cheeks like that, and they would give them a seemingly very broad smile. They would cut their cheeks and give them an enormous looking smile.
Wait, there was a bunch of different. He gave a bunch of different explanations every single time.
That's one of the best parts about it is that at one point he gives. There's like a backstory, and he gives this compelling, sad, horrific version of how he got the story of how he got these scars. You're like, oh my God, that's awful. Then later, from the next scene, he gives another different, horrible, sad, horrific, memorable, compelling story. And you're like, oh my God, this character is possibly insane, definitely a liar, and probably crazy. I mean, probably like psychopathically evil. I mean, you sort of get that.
This is self-inflicted, probably.
Could be, could not be. Someone could have done it to him. Another number two.
How did we fuck up here? I was supposed to end.
Oh, that's true, huh?
I was supposed to end, right?
Fuck.
You dick.
Well, I'll go before you if you want me to. Wait, you're going to end this way because I went first.
No, if I go right now and get my number one, then you will give your number one, and there you go.
Oh, you already gave your number two.
I gave my number two, Brian. My number two. Have you ever seen Lawless, Brian?
Anderson.
Tom Hardy?
I have. I feel like I've seen it.
All right.
Is there a throat slitting?
Brian.
Glasgow smile.
Forrest Bondurant. That's his name in the movie. In Lawless. Forrest Bondurant.
Move on to number one. You can go last if you want to. I can do number one. If you really want to.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, Brian?
Well, you know why? Because I already issued the challenge that mine cannot be outdone.
Let's see. You know what? Yeah, I want to see your flop or whatever you're going to call it. Like your hand.
The river.
Let's see it.
The river. Oh, that's right. This is my river. I came out with the flop and then the turn and then river.
Because I think that I might have you beat.
There's no possible way you beat this. In terms of what? Gruesomeness?
Are you talking The Fly?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Good one, though.
Not bad, right?
There's no recovering from this.
Well, then you're dead, so it doesn't count.
Nah. Or are you?
Go.
Let's say you're in World War I. Let's say you're hit by an artillery shell.
Ooh.
And the artillery shell, you're left without any arms. You're left without any legs. You're left without a face. No eyes.
Oh, you're going with that?
No,
didn't you just have this movie on your list?
No, I don't think I ever talked about this movie before.
It's a terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie.
Not fun to watch.
Talk about Johnny Got His Gun.
Don't like.
1971. Johnny Got His Gun. Joe Bonham, played by Timothy Bottoms, steps or gets hit by an artillery shell in World War, I think it's World War One. Shit. Is it two or one? Who
it's
cares?
Okay,
and he, poor Joe is left without any limbs.
Hey, Joe.
He's left without a face. Left without a mouth, a tongue, teeth, eyes,
a lot of
nose,
you have
ears.
Seen
everything's gone.
A lot of you have seen the Metallica video for what song?
One.
Yes, one.
Now the world is gone.
Which is makes the movie look awesome. And if you're like a teenager watching this thinking, that's a badass movie, I'm going to check that shit out, you're sorely mistaken and let down.
You led me right into my story.
I'm sorry.
No, you led me right into it. Thank you for that introduction. So, my high school, Anderson, had something called mini course. And what mini course was, please pay attention, I'm telling a story. Uh-huh. Mini course was 1 week during the school year where you basically took off school and everyone sort of pursued these quasi-academic pursuits. My freshman year, I did like sports writing and we'd do Warriors practice and like interview the players. And it was a
Warriors practice.
The Warriors, the Golden State Warriors basketball team. Uh-huh. It was in season. It was the spring.
Little chubby Brian going,
right.
Hello, sir.
Balding Brian.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Mr. Mullen. Can I ask you a question? Mr. Hardaway. And so 1 year, my junior year, I signed up for a week-long course in war films. Uh-huh. We did war films. We were going to study war films. Uh-huh. And we watched Casualties of War. We watched Platoon. We watched Apocalypse Now. This is my introduction to all these movies.
Right.
And the last day, the teacher said, let's take a vote on before tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day. We'll take a vote on what movie we want to watch. And 14-year-old Brian rallied the troops, so to speak. And I said, guys, there's this awesome looking movie out there. It's called Johnny Got His Gun. It's in a fucking Metallica video. I gave him the brief rundown, but the guy loses his face, he loses his arms, his legs. We gotta watch this movie. I'm like, let's watch Johnny Got His Gun. So he's just like, all right, Johnny Got His Gun it is. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking boring. I was not hailed as a hero. I was hailed as as the man who ruined class.
Yes.
By making everyone watch Johnny Got. You remember how boring this movie is?
Yeah, super boring.
It's boring and it's confusing. It's alternately flashbacks, fantasies.
It's flat. The whole thing's just flat.
The only thing that takes place in present day is Johnny, this headless, this fucking, not headless, this faceless
and
stump.
And it's long, too, isn't it?
And it's long.
Now, so how was that one of the most uncomfortable viewings of your entire life?
It was awful. I was dying.
Yeah.
And people are like, what the fuck did you make us watch? Like, guys, I'm sorry.
Now, did you lie and say that you had already seen?
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no, that would be way worse.
All right. That'd
be way worse. Like, guys, I've seen this. Trust me.
Yeah, I thought
great.
Maybe you were going to have to talk them into actually going along with your horrible plan.
Well, I talked them into by saying it looks awesome. It's in a Metallica video.
Right.
It is so fucking
true.
Boring.
You were right there.
However, Joe's Johnny, his name is Joe in the movie, his injuries are so fucking severe and traumatic. Mm. His only way to communicate is to nod his head in Morse code, which he does, and he begs for death. That's how he communicates to the outside world.
Right. Isn't that towards the end?
It's in the video. Music video for Metallica has one.
Ulrich says, here's what's happening here. Because there are
audio dialogue.
They made that movie fantastic.
They made it look fantastic.
They made the short. Well, they made like a short version of it. I mean, it's still the movie.
Right.
It's still the story.
Yeah, but it's set to fucking Metallica. It's great. By the way, great Metallica song.
Right, I think I might have you beat there, buddy.
How is it any worse than having no limbs and no face?
I might have you beat there, buddy.
Okay, let's hear it. I've got to know what's worse. I got to know. Got to know.
Here we go. You're right. Here I am laughing at something just horrific and awful.
Anderson, funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with the sun from the Trinity. Jesus. Passion of the Christ. Mm. One long 2.5 hour injury, Brian.
The only reason
he does not die, Brian.
It results in his death.
Not really, though.
What do you mean, not really?
Not really.
Oh, he came back.
Right.
He came back.
Right.
Oh, if you believe that shit.
And this is, hey, do not blaspheme. Blaspheme, Brian. Hey, this is a terrible injury. And it goes on for a long, long time.
That's true. This is 2 hours of injury.
So I'm saying.
This is a 2 hour long injury.
Jesus.
Oh, he's scourged.
Hour and 127 minutes.
That's true.
Of just nonstop.
Just ass kicking.
Just torture porn. And it doesn't kill him. We all know, Brian. That's why we celebrate Easter and have
bunnies. It does result in his death for which
he resurrects. I realized that on the way over here. I'm like, fa-la-la. It might not work.
Fa-la-la.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be talking about Jesus and cussing. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. God damn it. I mean, shit.
Right.
It's
a bad
inspired
injury.
Joy.
A lot of injuries.
It's very injurious.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there are, you know what?
Oh, okay. Shit, it doesn't work at all. You know why?
Why?
He died for our sins.
So what does that mean?
They always say that he died for our sins. So obviously, I mean, I know that he died, obviously, but then he came back. So I was like, ultimately, he didn't die, but it's more like a pet cemetery type thing, because like the same and the whole Catholicism and all that shit and the Trinity, it's always like he died for your sins, be guilty.
Okay,
he
well,
died
look, buddy,
for your
you know
sins.
What? I'll make a case for this. How about this? He dies from the crucifixion. The crown of thorns, the scourging, all
right.
that
There's
stuff.
A lot of injuries
all
leading
stuff,
up to that.
Those don't necessarily cause him death.
Right.
It's the crucifixion that causes him death.
Right. The ring of the halo of thorns.
Yeah, the crown of thorns.
Exactly,
yeah.
So much. It was actually like the stabbing in the side, right?
That was to tell if he had died, if he was dead.
Remember how much blood?
In the Bible, supposedly, water came out or something.
Well, in Gibson's, he had Niagara Falls of blood.
I'll have to see it again. Oh, wait,
it
no, I'll never
have
seen
it. It sprayed all over the Roman soldier. Like, it was so gratuitous. Hey, what's wrong with you people? You know how many people want to see that over and over and over?
It's $1 billion movie. No, it's a $750 million movie.
All right, you know what? I'll swap out.
No, don't swap
out.
I'll
swap out Jesus'
life. That's legitimate.
Jesus' two-hour-long scourging and violence with the wrestler punching the meat slicer. God, that was awful. Do you remember that?
That was pretty bad when he did his hand. Yeah. No, I'll go.
That's almost there.
Go
up
Jesus.
There with Jesus, right?
He had long hair.
What was his name? Why am I
Randy the Ram?
Randy the Ram, bashing the being the meat guy at the deli in your local
you
supermarket.
You know what my favorite scene of that movie
getting
was?
Getting angry and punching
when he was happy in the meat market. Hey, what can I get you, lady?
That was fun. Yeah, he's like
2 pounds
life.
Of Capicola. Come on,
right up. He's like doing like
what can I get you gorgeous? He's like calling like what can I get you good looking?
Flipping the cup for the coleslaw. All right, here we go.
I love it.
Jesus.
No. I got to hear the list of our top five. Do you want to do it? Yeah, list of top five.
Did I have Passion of the Christ on some other list recently? It seems like I did, but
I had it on
anything.
The portrayal of the devil.
Brian.
Oh, I did.
Okay, that's right.
It was there. The devil's in there.
Logs.
I'd have to look it up.
Thanks.
Right
buddy.
Now, I have the list of top five for you.
Are you ready to do this?
Here it goes.
Let's do it.
Three-way tie for number five. Mm-hmm. First one being Evil Dead 2, and that's Ash's arm.
Comedy, though.
Okay.
No.
Also, $127.
But the listeners didn't know that Brian switched it just this morning.
No. Their only stipulations were non-lethal injuries.
Right.
127 hours.
Yeah. That was the sound
pretty
alone.
Pretty
Jesus Christ.
And Chinatown.
That's another movie. Where it's just not Chinatown, but the 127 hours where it's one long injury.
Yeah,
the injury sustains. Well, he gets the thing caught between the blood. Anyway, good choice.
Number four, Fight Club. Without spoiling anything, it's somebody being shot.
Yeah, self-inflicted.
Number three, The Empire Strikes Back. Luke Skywalker losing his hand.
That's true.
Number two, the hobbling scene in Misery.
Ooh,
good call.
Also, Rans. Yes,
it was very
just
close to making the list.
I know you hate it when I cut you off, Logan, and let you to the number one. And it seems like I do that often, but that came on just recently, and. It's such a classic movie, and if you black and white it, like it would fit in the 50s. Like it really, if you just watched it, yes. And Rob fucking Reiner, I don't know who he had directing that for him, but it looked great.
No, it's a great, very, very, very well written movie. I think it's hard to screw up.
Somebody directed it well for him. Yeah. All right, here we go.
And the number one in non-lethal injury, as voted on by our listeners, is the Black Knight scene in Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail.
That was very hard to watch. Very dramatic. Very painful. Mm. Very written.
Yeah.
It was like neo-realism.
Kind of haunts you.
Yeah.
Are there also Rans Anderson?
Yeah, I got some good ones here. The Fingers in Escape from Alcatraz.
Oh,
I was
good
a kid
call.
When I saw that.
Me
but
too.
Jesus, that was
very. That's
hard
the
to
only
watch.
Thing I remember in that movie.
That's a great movie.
The paper mache heads.
Great movie. You had that on your top five prison movies. You fuck.
Yeah.
And you said you know that's all you remember.
No, I think that was back in the old days.
It was the very old
when
days.
I was pretending to know movies.
The cheek cut in Pan's Labby without giving anything away. The self stitching. Holy shit, Pan's Labyrinth. Brian.
Saw
you
pants.
Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, saw pants.
Remember the
cheek? With the eyes. On
remember
the
cheek?
Hands.
No, but do you remember the cheek?
I do remember the cheek.
Yeah, okay. What else? I had 128 hours here. That one doesn't work.
There's an extra hour in there.
Uh-huh. Werner's Church. 128 hours. 127. Misery Club. Massive Whipping in 12 Years a Slave. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck. Good call. There's so many... You know what, everyone? If you think of a good one, go to AndersonandBrian.com, put it in the comments section, because I feel like there's a lot. Like, I completely forgot about that one. That is a very legitimate entry.
And then Hard Candy.
Ooh, yeah, hard to watch.
You saw Hard Candy, yeah?
I saw the scene you're talking about. I know a
what?
Scene.
Why would you see a scene?
I don't know how it came up, but I saw it. It was on some movie show I was watching.
Hard Candy, a good little film.
Never saw
the good little film.
Patrick Wilson, right?
It's a movie about Juno. Brian. It's Juno, yeah. Movie about Brian types.
Oh, stop it.
It is.
Also rans for me. Dalton in Roadhouse getting stabbed with a knife. Pain don't hurt, he says, as he gets stitched up.
Yikes.
Dennis Hopper gets his face blown up in Waterworld. And Bill Cutting with the glass eye. He pulled his own eye out. He pulled out the offending eye.
That was alluded to. Yeah, it didn't actually happen.
Inigo Montoya with the face scar. This happens off screen, too.
Yeah, that happens like 20 years before the movie happens, bro.
The palm scar.
How'd you get
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
How'd you get that scar in your face there, Tony? Eating pineapple?
Speaking of faces blown up, Harvey Dent in Dark Knight.
That's a good one. It's the actual line is eating pussy. Like the cops are asking, they're interrogating Tony Montana. Like, how'd you get that scar on your face then, Tony? Eating pussy. But the TV version is
eating pineapple. That's funny.
That's good.
All
right.
And Reservoir Dogs, both Tim Roth and the ear amputation in Reservoir Dogs.
Yep.
Anton Chigurh has a couple of gnarly injuries in No Country for Old Men.
Look at the bone.
Yeah, the bone. Also, the part where he like bandages up his own wound in the hotel room or whatever it is. Bad times. And the rest of mine are comedic. Oh no, Three Kings. Mark Wahlberg with the lung filling up with pus and all that.
That was so well done. Let's get inside that lung.
I watched that scene and that was just about as close as making my top five.
Let's get inside that lung. And he survives, huh? All right, cool.
Survives.
Let's do it.
All right. What else is there to do?
We got gamble.
Yeah.
We got a payoff last week. It's fucking Paddington, that goddamn bear.
No. Last week was The Boy Next Door. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 29%, Anderson 44%, and Brian 20%. Currently, the Wednesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for The Boy Next Door is 13%.
Oh shit, went from 29 to 13? Ooh, bad times.
It started with 7 reviews, so yeah, all the reviews came in.
I'm assigning you this movie, Brian. Go see Boy Next Door.
I don't think you can actually technically assign me a film.
Get back to me.
There are people who would like us to just assign each other bad films.
I know. There's some good payoffs there. Not bad films, but hard to watch films for you.
I'm going to assign you a movie you will love. Go find Vivian Mayer.
Yeah, how do I find that?
You gotta watch it on DVD.
You
rent it on.
You still got it?
No,
you send it back?
Dick. Sorry, buddy. So I suppose you could rent it on iTunes if you wanted to, but send away from the disc. It'll
be difficult. I don't do discs anymore, dude. I'm over that.
Go fucking iTunes.
I live in the year 2015. I don't deal
sure
with
it. Sure, it's like $5 on Amazon.
Fucking, what do they call them? Silver, what do they call those?
Silverlight?
What was the first big disc that they had?
A laser disc.
Laser discs.
You gotta flip them over. All right, what are we gambling on?
This week, you're going to be gambling on Project Almanac.
What is Project Almanac?
It's a young adult thriller about time travel.
It's as fun as Chronicle.
Oh, Christ. What else is coming out this week?
We have affected the past.
That Kevin Costner movie, White or Black?
White or Black or White.
It was a tough week. All right, Project
Almanac. Hey, Bill Burr's in that, so be cool. Be cool, bitch.
You all right?
I just thought of another great injury.
What was it?
Damn it.
What was it?
There's some good stuff in Apocalypto.
Yeah, there's pretty gnarly injuries.
Good injuries.
Like where the head rolls down. I guess that guy's dead.
That's kind of dead. Mm. Right.
So many good injuries. Please post them on AndersonBryan.com in the comments section.
I have no idea.
I don't know where this is going.
You know what? No. That's stupid. Don't do that. All right. Come on. I got to start cheating because this is getting ridiculous.
All right. I may have gone too low.
Like if this was a school... Like, and I got this many tests, Fs on this many tests, I would just start cheating.
You have no choice.
You got to survive.
And teachers would be okay with that.
No, the teacher wouldn't know about that. I'm sly. I'm doing 47.
Wow. I said 25.
But they said it's as fun as Chronicle.
Oh, well, in that case.
Well, currently, the Wednesday before release, with just 6 reviews, the Rotten Tomato score for Project Almanac is 83%.
Fuck to the yes!
Six reviews.
Getting out of this
That's 4 positive. 83%?
I didn't hear the 6. That's impossible. Math doesn't
83. Know. It would have to drop quite a bit for Anderson to lose it.
Can't have 6.
Math doesn't quite work.
You know, I talked to somebody just today that saw it last night.
For an Asian, he's not quite understanding.
It has 4.5 good reviews. Out of 6.
Last night, what did they say?
Not very good.
Oh.
Well, fuck your friend, because I'm winning this.
If it drops by half, you still win.
It's going to be dramatic. Next week's going to be dramatic. I'm going to be watching that fucker all week.
Who knows
what we're doing? Logan, please follow us here, okay? 6 people have reviewed it, and they said yes, yay or nay, right?
Yeah.
How do you get 83% out of that? How in the world do you get 83%? There's no equation.
Maybe
not possible.
Maybe starting to take into account how well they review the movie. It's not.
No, yeah, maybe that's
either good or bad.
Interesting.
It's either good or bad.
Interesting.
I think some more have rolled in. They just haven't.
Oh.
Like the percentage has been affected.
They haven't posted their review.
But yeah.
Interesting. Thank you guys for doing all that you do. I want to say thanks for clicking through and doing the Amazon thing. We appreciate it. We only had one ad during the show. We actually...
Oh, look at you.
No, I want to say...
Adding yourself.
No.
Love it. Yeah,
we turned down another sponsor this week.
We did.
I don't feel bad saying it. We said no thanks. Not quite.
Should we do an anti-ad?
No. They're a good company.
That's
they
what
do
we do in the app disaster. They're a good company. No,
well,
they're not a good
thing.
Company. That's why we said no.
They don't fit.
We don't fit.
We want to bombard you guys for a few bucks. This sounds like a fucking pitch. But what I'm saying is, we appreciate you guys clicking through because that's our that's sort of the bread and butter.
It is the bread and butter. But we did have Blue Apron, and it's because it is a great product.
Yeah,
I was pitching Blue Apron to my mom. I was explaining to her how great it was.
Yeah, my friends of mine have actually been like, "Do you really like Blue Apron? Should I do it?" I'm like, "Fucking try it out, man! I really enjoy it."
All right.
So anyway, enough of that. Thanks, you guys, for clicking through, doing all you do at AndersonandBrian.com.
That's
where you go to leave comments. A little more than an hour. Leave comments in the episodes, feature artists, all that stuff. Listener art. Logan, do we have listener art this week?
We do. It's a nice Oh Brother, Where Art Thou reference, but he didn't send in his name, so I don't know who came from.
Well, thanks, Anonymous.
I didn't want to give out his email address on the air, so.
Leave credit for yourself on the comments section there, AndersonandBrian.com. Facebook and Twitter, we are The Film Vault on both. That's where you vote for top fives and leave your nominations. And AndersonCowan.com to read reviews that he doesn't post anymore.
Oh,
AfterDisaster.com.
AfterDisaster.com, yeah. We're homeless, but we're going to figure something out.
Okay.
Trivia Crack. You guys been playing Trivia Crack yet?
I don't know what that is.
All right, a little bonus recommendation here. No ad or anything. This is a free app on the old iPhone there, on any smartphone. Trivia Crack.
Is it just trivia?
It's just trivia.
Give me the first question. I'll answer it.
Brian, settle. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Settle down.
I want it.
It's so much fun.
I need it.
The wife and I are going back and forth nonstop playing it. Oh, it's so enjoyable. It's the first really good game that I've played on the old iPhone there for a while. So Trivia Crack. Enjoy. Okay. Yeah. Spin that wheel.
And then?
Get that category. Get that geography. We do it for Ben. Go! Car, Brian.
True Car.
Everyone's talking about True Car.
When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever.
Yeah, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear they might overpay, which everybody has when you walk into a lot.
It's the worst. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of, get this, $3,221 off MSRP.
So when you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps.
First,
you got to download that True Car mobile app.
Mm-hmm. TrueCar.com, where you go.
Or you can go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car that you want. Then you register to set up front pricing information and lock in those savings.
Third step, simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay.
To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.